to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In our responsive psalm this morning, the first verse of Psalm 118 is quite fitting as we observe God and Country Sunday on this first day of July 2018, and as on Wednesday we will mark the 242nd birthday of our nation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So as citizens of the kingdom of the left hand, we have much to give thanks for, most certainly for the nation in which we live and of which we are citizens by birth or by naturalization. Certainly we are a nation of flaws and a flawed people. So too then is every nation of the world, of all time. But in spite of the sins of our past, we as Christians can give thanks for the country in which we live, these United States of America. As Americans, we can give thanks to God for a heritage of faith that has been extended to us through previous generations who came to this nation in order that they might confess their faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit without fear of reprisal, and do so according to the very word of God. We can rejoice and give thanks that by God's gift of faith, we were born from above to be citizens of the kingdom of the right hand, to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. While not all of our founding fathers were Christian as we necessarily understand Christianity, the majority of them were. They believed that Jesus had died for their sins and the sins of the whole world and rose again for their justification. Those generations who came before us gave of themselves so that we might continue in their ways, so that we might benefit from their sacrifices that they made in building houses of worship and schools by which the faith might be taught. And they faithfully gave of their time, of their expertise, their talents, and their gifts in response to the gospel, for the benefit of their generation and all of those generations that would follow. The generations that have preceded us in this place witnessed to the generations that followed with the hope that we too might be faithful in our witness to those who would follow us as our way of giving thanks to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. He alone is good. And his steadfast love has passed from one generation to the next. So as Christians, we can give thanks for this nation, and we can work as citizens of this nation to ensure that the freedoms that we enjoy for the sake of our eternal salvation might continue to be shared with those who come after us, so that they too might rejoice in the good news of sins forgiven for Christ's sake. We can be, as Jesus taught, salt and light in the world, so that the truth of God's gift of salvation might not be hidden, but that it might be boldly proclaimed, that we might lift high the banner of the cross and proclaim God's great love for us. Yet we have been blessed to be able to hear the good news of salvation in Christ. We must confess that we often have not been faithful. Faithful in sharing that message, or in living in the joy of that message with others, or in living out the obedience of faith in our lives for the sake of our children and our grandchildren and those generations yet unborn. In our prayers, we can petition the Lord to graciously allow our Christian heritage to be transmitted to the next generation, and then not lose sight of how that is done in our lives, as witnessed in our service, in our obedience to God, which flows from a heart that recognizes that God has gifted us with faith, which receives the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. And we do so for the benefit of our neighbor, so that they might see in us the love of God as found in Christ Jesus. Certainly, there are tremendous first article gifts. The first article is, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so there are tremendous first article gifts that surround us as citizens of this nation for our use and for our enjoyment. It might be as simple as the sight of the landscape from atop Pinnacle Mountain, or it could be the produce that you are able to raise in your backyard or patio gardens and share. Make sure you share it with the pastor. Carol Holzhauer brought in some tomatoes for me this morning, and I appreciate it. Yet consider the fields of rice and soybeans off our Interstate 40 as you drive toward Memphis, or the waves of amber grain that clothe the plains in our nation's midsection, or the rows of corn, and there's corn between here and Memphis as well, but there are rows and rows of corn that reflect the light of the sun as you drive through central and northern Illinois, or as you drive through the state of Iowa. Consider the miles of oceanfront property, the rugged beauty of the Grand Canyon, or the view from the Pacific Coast Highway, if you've ever got to drive on that highway, or any of our nation's national and state parks. So too the heavens declare the power and the majesty of our God, who created the universe and has bestowed upon us all that we need for this body and life, all the first article gifts, clothing, shoes, food and drink, house and home, our spouses, our children. Friday evening in Memphis, as I drove back to the hotel that housed our district convention, the moon in the southeastern sky was just spectacular. I don't know how the moon looked over here on Friday night, but it's just beautiful. So in your mind, go to that specific place you love to visit and give thanks to the Lord for the beauty of all that He has made and all that He continues to provide for us from His generous hand. Not only is our nation beautiful, but it is also bountiful. Throughout the land, we are inheritors of a rich bounty of crops and industry, natural resources that we can use to supply our needs and for our enjoyment. The means by which we live, even on average, is far above that of people in other parts of our world. As you consider the world around us, many or most people are indeed impoverished. Our temptation often is to hoard the many gifts that we have for ourselves. But here we also need to be reminded of God's salvation. And in so doing, we take time to be thankful to Jesus, as St. Paul reminds us in his second letter to the church at Corinth. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Through his suffering death, you have become rich through the forgiveness of sins. And through his resurrection, we have been made spiritually rich beyond measure. And this is not something that we should hoard. This is not something that we should keep to ourselves at the expense of another's spiritual welfare, but kindly and gently share as we continue to grow in the knowledge of the truth, so that we are bold to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we seek to share the material bounty that God has bestowed upon us, as we should. We are called also as citizens to use our freedoms to promote the welfare of those who are in need, those who live in our city, in our state and nation, and those throughout the world. Our Savior multiplied the food for the hungry. He has multiplied food for us, giving us the ability to stock our cupboards and fill our refrigerators so that we might be well fed and even overfed, so that we too might with thankful hearts share from the blessings that we have been given. But we first must recognize that they are blessings from Almighty God. Recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is Moses' exhortation to the children of Israel to remember how the Lord God had set them free from slavery in Egypt, and how he further provided for them as he humbled them in their journey to the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The freedoms that we celebrate as citizens of this nation, particularly this coming Wednesday, were never free. Many of those who signed the Declaration of Independence were badgered, persecuted, and some of them gave their property and even their lives for their quest for independence and those beliefs that they held near and dear. This Independence Day, we give thanks to God for those who gave their lives so that we may live in a land where freedom rings for us and for all. We give thanks to God for those who risked their lives to protect our freedom over the last 242 years. We should never take for granted that we are benefactors, that we enjoy the freedoms that we have because of someone else's sacrifice for us. Those who serve our nation for the cause of peace give us cause to be thankful for their service on our behalf. As a free people, we have a God-given responsibility to pray for our nation and our leaders, even those with whom we disagree. We have the responsibility and calling to participate as citizens in the kingdom of the left hand, locally, regionally, nationally. As a free people, we have the responsibility to exercise the freedom of worship as citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the right hand, giving thanks that God has blessed our nation and that he blesses his church with his presence through word and through sacrament, according to his many promises, and he never fails to keep his promises to us. At the same time, we must be a people who penitently confess that we too often fail to participate in either kingdom and instead grumble and mumble against our leaders in both the kingdom of the left and the right. Ultimately, as we gather here this day, as we gather here any time on Sunday or Wednesday or special church holidays, we give thanks to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has paid for our sin of irresponsible citizenship of the kingdom of the right and the left. We give thanks as we remember with great joy that he has made us citizens of heaven and at the same time given to us important responsibilities on earth to not squander the blessings of body and soul that have passed to us from previous generations. In our epistle reading, St. Paul shared with the Christians in Galatia, and now with us this morning as members and visitors at Grace Lutheran Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, these words: "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." If St. Paul would come among us today, would he find our faith manifesting itself in love toward each other, in love toward our neighbor, in love toward those we do not know, in love even toward our enemies? Would he find us thankful for the blessings that we enjoy as citizens of these United States of America? Ultimately, would St. Paul find us thankful for the gospel and its message of eternal salvation through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus' suffering and death paid for your sins and my sins and the sins of all. We could not pay for those. We don't add to what he paid for us. We're called to give thanks and bear witness. Jesus' resurrection becomes our resurrection and gives us eternal life even now. That is God's steadfast love made known to you, and he calls upon you to help it be made known to others. And that happens as we respond to his grace and mercy as the psalmist put forth for us this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.